Welcome to Hello Tangent, the podcast where we talk about comic books, movies, TV, video games, and desperately try to stay on topic. I'm your host, Clark.
And I'm Kat.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about some comic book movies that aren't DCEU or MCU movies today, because this is kind of an addendum to what we did last week. We were actually planning on doing this last week, but we were running so long, we figured we'd just split it up into two episodes.
We're like, we don't have any content to talk about. End up talking for like three and a half hours.
Seriously.
It's great.
What did we do last week? I don't even remember.
It was the movies that were made from video games.
Ah, that's right.
Speaking of, Assassin's Creed was on in the break room 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And I was like...
Yeah. Seen it. We watched...
I didn't watch the Hellboy, but I did see that David Harbour is the Hellboy.
Yeah.
And he's pretty.
It's great. I mean, it's nice. I'd say great. We'll jump into it in a second. It's fun. It made me think about how many movies are critically panned, and even just general today, people want to be movie critics instead of just enjoying a movie or admitting that they enjoy a movie.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it is they don't want to admit they enjoyed a movie that's critically panned.
I know. That
it's more hip to hate it.
It is. It really is. And to break it up and you know, talk shit about it. I know that I am one of those people that, as I have said long, many, multiple times, I enjoy garbage. I like movies that people tend not to like. And I've been called, I've been told that I have poor
taste in movies.
Basically, poor taste in movies, books, and games and stuff like that. And I'm like, I guess. But
you kind of do like me, though, as far as like you have stuff on constantly while you're doing other stuff. So you've absorbed a lot of media that you haven't really... It's not like you made the choice. Like, I don't... You know, the Hellboy movie. I watched the Hellboy movie while I was playing Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
And doing other stuff. Like, you know, I wasn't like so engrossed in it.
Right.
I mean, I eventually started watching a lot of it because I was just like, that's kind of fun. But
sure.
But enough to, I was paying attention enough to know what was going on.
I mean, it's not going to the movies, but even then I've gone, you know, I am one of the few people apparently that enjoyed this new Star Wars trilogy.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people fucking hate it. And I'm like, all Star Wars is campy and stupid. Like it is, if you look at it, very basic storytelling. The main characters are whiny little bitches for the most part. A lot of it's...
Yeah, I mean, it was George Lucas basically not... copying, but like a love letter to the stuff he grew up on, like what was the Buck Rogers or whatever, isn't that what it's called or something? The space things. That's what he wanted to do. That was a space opera. I mean, he did that all the way down to like Han Solo's outfit is the same outfit.
Oh,
like,
is it really?
Oh, it's like completely. Yeah,
that's awesome. I mean, I enjoy that kind of thing though too, and I enjoy that, you know, stuff with Star Wars. It's three different generations.
Yeah.
And it really is very similar. You know, all of the stories are technically very, very similar, but like, look at our own history. You can't tell me that stuff doesn't repeat itself. And those are at least 30 years between each series, each trilogy. So it's
18 between the prequels and the original.
Oh, well, it's like 20 or 30 between the original and the current. But I mean, it's called Star Wars.
Yeah, just
what do you expect?
Either like it or don't. I mean, like I said, I don't like the sequel trilogy.
Yeah.
And I don't have this vitriol like some people do. Like,
yeah, some Daniel has a burning dislike because he hates how empowered Rey is. He hates that she's so strong.
I think they definitely hit the fast forward on the development. Like,
yeah.
I don't think she should have just naturally known how to do some of the stuff she did. But come on, we got what? It's literally they have less than 9 hours. To tell this whole trilogy.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
And you had two different directors telling it. So it's, you know.
It's a mess. It's not, I'm not, like I said, it doesn't change my life to the point where to me, it's almost like a dream. It's surreal. Like, I can't believe they happened.
Yeah.
Like, when I rewatch them now.
I'm just mad that I wasn't part of them physically. Like, that is my dream. I would like to be in a Star Wars movie. I want to be the Han Solo character. That's me. Because I would be the perfect chaotic neutral. Let's be honest.
I don't know what I would be. What would I be?
You could be my co-captain. We would smuggle things, and we would do... You would be... let's be honest. You would basically be very much the same. I was going to say you'd be Chewbacca, but like...
I will not be your prison pocket.
Ew!
You said we will smuggle things. I immediately thought, like, in me?
Your butthole, like, crawling up to your throat, like, not today. Not today, maybe tomorrow. It depends on what we're smuggling. No, but We would be co-captains. That's all I can say. Cool. We'd be badass co-captains, though. Like
badass, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but
yeah, yeah. Yeah. I like the daydream there. You stared off for a second. Just like, yeah,
yeah.
I know, honey.
She would be our Chewbacca.
She definitely is our Chewbacca. She's already growling.
A Woobaca.
So, what movies you want to get into first? This is kind of your baby more than mine, so.
True. Well, I do have a little bit of a list.
I have some from the 90s that I could bring up that
I remember. That is welcome.
But let's do your list, and then we'll...
My list. Well, so I looked, because if you... I feel like I can tell a movie that is based off of comic books just based off of the way that it plays out.
I think I can do it by look.
You can absolutely by look, and or like, I don't know.
I don't necessarily mean by costumes alone.
No,
I have just this weird. I have, you know how I said that certain anime used to freak me out when I was a kid because it's like if I can't wrap my mind around what's being portrayed on screen, it used to freak me out and I would have to rationalize it in my brain. Well, it's kind of the same way with certain action movies like that. Like for a long time, I hated the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen movie.
You know, I've only ever seen that once and I don't remember any of it. Oh,
you should probably watch it again.
I've
just
heard
give it another
really
try.
It's really good, but
it's better now, 20 years later.
Yeah.
But when I watched it originally, I was like, no, these literary characters can't coexist. No. This doesn't make any sense. Why is it steampunk?
What?
This is pre-World War I, and they have World War I technology and tanks. What is this? And like, it was like my historian self and my, like, you know, like the person who's read and like literature and historian side of me were just like
at war.
Didn't want to accept this movie could exist. It was too improbable, is what it was. And that's the same how I feel with some of these comic movies. Like, I have this weird sixth sense where if I feel uneasy, I immediately know that it's okay, it's probably a comic book movie, and then I kind of just sit back and enjoy it. Kingsman was that way with me. And I know you'll have a lot to say about Kingsman, so
I
we'll get to that. But
Kingsman, that's actually the first one on my list.
Go for it. Let's get right into it.
Let's jump right into it. So Kingsman, when I first watched it, I thought it was just a fun, campy spy movie. Again, there were people that fucking hated it. I thought that it was enjoyable in that it didn't take itself as seriously as like James Bond, but they had James Bond-esque moments. And it wasn't until like 3 months later that I found out that it started out as a comic, and I don't remember the name of the comic. But there were things like Harry was Eggsy's uncle, apparently, and just there were a lot of really random different things that I feel like after having read the comic, the movie did better, in my opinion, and maybe that's because I saw it first. And then there was Kingsman, the Golden Circle. I said Golden Compass, which is a completely different movie, which I enjoyed the fuck out of. I enjoyed how they personified America as this, like, big cowboy hats, booze drinking, just complete fucking dumbasses.
Yeah, all of them are, like, the stereotype. The spies are stereotypes of their, basically, their country's, yeah, I guess you would call it your espionage history.
Pretty much, yeah. And I mean, I enjoyed it. I actually really enjoyed Channing Tatum's character, and I have much love for Pedro Pascal, so him being, spoiler alert, the good bad guy, I do wish that he hadn't died, but, you know, those are some of my favorite comic book, not MCU, DCU movies. They're just
They're a good time.
They got really good music.
Yeah, they do. I love the use of Freebird in the church.
Yes, that scene is iconic. Anytime it comes on at work, I'm just like, dude, me too. I wish that there was just someone to dial it up. Fucking, what's his name? Samuel Jackson. Loved his bad guy character. I thought that the lisp and everything was just a lot of fun.
He insisted that be in there.
Yeah, I think that it's enjoyable. I also enjoy when actors manage to insert small things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, they go,
they did not want him to do that. Like, it was a big thing, and he said no. He goes, trust me on this, like, it'll make this character more believable if I, you know, or more fun, I guess, because it's, but he did that also because he had a stutter, I think, or a lisp when he was growing up, and he had to overcome it.
I believe that.
And he actually, that's why he says motherfucker so much.
I believe that too. It's it reminds me of King's Speech.
Yep, that basically allows him to say, like, I guess enunciate and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But Samuel Jackson, yeah, he insisted they put the lisp in there because it was like a nod to his own speech impediment, and because he said that was the kind of, like, character or whatever that would have something like that, because he kind of saw it in himself where he's just like, I used anger and curse words to overcome my thing. So it's like a power trip thing.
Right.
So it made sense for the character. I thought, you know.
It's a neat humanizing thing, because a lot of comic book characters, in my opinion, have zero flaws. You know, they're always perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's, you know, their flaw is that they're too perfect. Superman.
Or high-functioning alcoholism.
Tony Stark.
Yeah.
A
lot of, there's a Jessica Jones. A lot of times that's the only fault you can make a superhero is like,
yeah,
let's give them a debilitating addiction because it's the only thing.
But they handle it.
They're high functioning always. Yeah. It's not like it's actually, well, in Tony Stark's case, it did. They did a big like issue where I want to say Jarvis, I almost called him. Jarvis dies because of something. Mm-hmm. And Tony cleans his life up or whatever after that. I don't remember what, when we get around to Iron Man, I'll look that up.
There are a lot of storylines with Iron Man, so it could be a handful of things.
But that's an easy writer's go-to, though, is make him an alcoholic, but a high-functioning one, because they still got to do stuff. Let's not make him the alcoholic that actually can't get out of bed and fucking,
you know,
yeah,
shows up drunk and wasted and just out of their mind, loses their job. But if you're Tony Stark, you can't lose your job because it's literally your namesake.
The name's on the building.
Right. Although I do think it's kind of cool, I know this isn't DC Marvel chat, but speaking of Tony, them giving him bad PTSD to deal with in the movies, I thought was really cool.
Yeah, I actually do like that too.
I appreciate that.
I think I'd overlooked a lot in the third movie.
It did. Well, I don't know. I know a lot of people hate him because of XYZ. You know, they're either Cap or they're Team Iron Man, which, why not both?
Technically, at the end of the day, they're on the same side.
Yeah. I mean, if you take them separately, they're both not great. Like, Captain America is this big, shining, sparkling, whatever, representative of all things great. And it's like, but he is an asshole. Especially comic book Captain America. He's actually a dickhead, in my opinion, which I don't mind. I like characters that aren't amazing. You know, I like characters that are not perfect. But they all kind of deal with their own PTSD and stuff like that. But then they're forced to kind of like, oh, no, it's not that big of a deal. It's not, you know, which, I mean, I guess that happens in real life, too, but.
You ever wonder about the awkwardness of Sharon Carter growing up with Uncle Steve?
And then kisses Uncle Steve.
Oh, they did. Did a lot of stuff in a timeline.
Oof. I mean, Natasha's supposed to be like 100 plus years old.
Yeah.
From the comics, and she's like maybe 30 in the movies. I don't know.
That's how, I mean, it's the same principle though.
She's not. Yeah, she's got the super soldier serum.
The Russian version of it.
Mm-hmm.
So
love those Russians.
And Red Skull got the prototype Nazi version of it, which like
turns
most of
you
the,
into a Red Skull.
It's which is kind of funny because, you know, like a lot of technology in the 20th century that we stole from Nazi Germany, us and the Russians, it's kind of like that. It's like, oh, well, they almost had it right.
Yeah.
And then the Russian Soviets got it and we got
that's
it.
That's the fun of think tanks is you get to fuck around with them. And if you throw some people in and go, hey, we've got this basic idea, make it work.
Yep. The space program is literally based off of that.
So. Yeah, that's pretty much, I watched an episode of Stargate SG-1 yesterday where the scientist part of the team had to go talk to civilian scientists and, you know, do some conference. And they're like, we have to pretend like all our stuff is failing because we can't let them know that we're actually out in space. And it's like, that's fun. That's enjoyable. Look at our tangents. We're so tangenty today.
Seriously. I could talk about history crap for hours.
All the live long day.
What's up next? Let's do another movie.
Our next one is The Mask.
I forgot that was a comic.
I didn't even know it was a comic. I've not seen it in forever.
Yeah. I quote it all the time with a friend at work, sadly.
I mean, it's a smoking.
No, not those quotes. Like, we do the niche quotes.
Usually it's the
two cops. Like, my friend work is doing something like odd over at his little workstation place, or I'll be like, Doyle. And I'll be like, if you start dancing, I'll shoot you. Like the stuff, we'll just do the random quotes.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. We do way more random quotes than, and then obviously with this whole coronavirus thing going on, like the other day, he couldn't find his mask to put on, and so I was like, I'm just looking for my mask, and he started busting out like anytime I can throw a mask quote at him, it's great. So.
That's awesome. That is phenomenal.
But
it's a fun movie. I haven't read the comic.
I remember I got this movie. I remember when I saw it the first time. My mom had like gone to the grocery store and saw it on VHS and thought it was something I would like and everything. Didn't realize it was PG-13 at the time because I was like, it was 1994 or something. Yeah. So I was like 10 when it came out.
Right.
And she got it and then she realized it was PG-13 when she got home and I'm like, no, it'll be fine and everything. And so I watched it and everything. And
I think that it was one of those ones that terrified me to begin with.
I loved it.
And Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
I love that movie.
Love them, but they both terrified me as a kid, and it was probably the fucking weird CG, like, CG element. Yeah. I don't know.
No spoiler for my top 10 80s movies, favorite 80s movies countdown I'm doing, but I will definitely say Who Framed Roger Rabbit is on the 80s movies.
It's such a good movie. I would actually be interested to see them remake it or add on to it.
It holds up so well.
It does, but I would like to see what they could do with it now. Yeah. is my thing.
I would say that Who Framed Roger Rabbit is one of the 80s movies that holds up the best visually.
It does. It absolutely does, because I don't know, you can look at certain movies, especially around that time, where they had computer graphic, you know, computer generated stuff, and it's like, oh boy.
I mean, Back to the Future's got some now, kind of, you look at it and you're like, but they're great movies.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters, actually brilliant. The rotoscoping in that was really good first time. I mean, the ghost effects really hold up now. Some of them are cheesy, but like
Casper.
Yeah, that's even. Well, I was thinking about the actual 90s movies they made of Casper. Isn't that another comic book movie?
I think it is.
Casper was a comic before.
I think you're right. Yeah. That's not on here.
That's kind of a weird segue of that.
That is an interesting segue.
Anyway, but last thing on The Mask, that's also Cameron Diaz's first movie, I think.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. I remember young Cameron Diaz. That was I had a crush on her when I first saw her. So
I believe it.
That movie's still fun, though. The Mask is pretty entertaining.
It is an entertaining.
Got some fun musical scenes, too. God, I love the dancing with
the
cops.
The Chicky Boom thing. Yeah. I can't remember what song that
they
is.
They call me Cuban.
But anytime I hear that fucking song, I'm like, it's going to be stuck in my head for the next two centuries.
And that's where we get the quote, the whole, like, you start dancing, I'll shoot you. I love that scene.
Zelda loves that scene, too.
It's got, that's actually, if it wasn't, and nothing against Jim Carrey at all, if it is very cartoony. Like, it's him actually getting to be a living cartoon, which is what he was pretty much '90s Jim Carrey was.
I mean, he was the bad
guy. Dang, Zelda.
That wasn't me.
I know,
he
was
the bad guy in the Sonic movie, wasn't he?
Yes. Yeah.
He said he wanted to wear a fat suit for the next one.
I hope so, because Dr. Robotnik is supposed to be fat. So. Mm-hmm.
A rotund boy.
A rotund man with the skinny legs, like you were talking about earlier.
Right?
He's an apple-shaped person.
I don't understand that. That's an interesting segue back to that conversation.
We're somehow connected.
Coming all around. It's great. All of the circles we're drawing. The next one on here is Old Boy, which I think was originally it was either Japanese or I think it was Korean comic, and it became a movie. I think a Korean movie, and then it was remade with Josh Brolin a few years ago. It was a fucking weird movie. Have you seen it?
I have not, actually. I've heard about it, but I haven't seen it.
It's interesting. The twist at the end, I was like, I saw that coming 2 miles away. But it was an interesting movie. I enjoy Josh Brolin, so I was like, I am going to enjoy watching this. And I think it had, what's her name? The other Olsen.
Elizabeth?
She was in that too, I think.
I like her.
I do too. I like her better than the other two.
She looks enough like her. Well, she looks like her sisters when they were younger, before they look kind of cracked out now.
She has a very much, like, when I think of a Slavic woman, she's got the look. And I don't know if that's because of the Avengers or if that's just the look.
Olsen. They probably are Scandinavian of some sort. So
probably.
Not Slavic necessarily, but they've. Close, I mean, geographically.
Some kind of white-ish. Yeah. But
she's, I remember when I first saw her, because she's a taller than the twins.
Yeah.
But I thought it was funny when I first saw her, I was like, oh my God, there's another one. Like, I didn't know, I never knew she existed.
It's kind of like the other Hemsworth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Luke. Yeah. Everyone forgets about him.
Yeah.
Denton directed a movie with him in it. He was a cinematographer in a movie with Luke Hemsworth in it.
Yeah.
He told me a really funny story that Luke Hemsworth said.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, gosh. Do you want me to tell it now? Uh-huh. So we'll eventually have Denton on this podcast because we'll talk about something movies. He's a friend of mine. He's a cinematographer. And he filmed a movie here recently. It's called Encounter.
Is that the one he was out someplace I think you were telling me about him.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll tell you. Anyway, he, but you can actually, I think you can find it on Amazon Prime right now and everything. If you want to watch it, Encounter, there's a plug. Watch it for my boy. It's an alien kind
of
movie.
I think I've heard of it.
It's like, anyway, yeah, anyway. Anyway, stars Luke Hemsworth, and he's also in Westworld. We'll do a Westworld episode, I'm sure. But if for those who don't know who Luke Hemsworth is, he's the guy in Westworld that runs the security. So
he's the other Hemsworth. He doesn't look like
the other two.
Luke or Chris or Liam, which is interesting.
Yeah. But is he the oldest or is he?
I think he is the oldest. Yeah.
Anyway, so Denton told me that after they wrapped, they were like going out for drinks and stuff like that or whatever, and Luke was like going to go get him a drink at the bar or whatever, and he's like, you know, what can I get you? And my buddy Denton isn't a big drinker at all, but he loves a good Long Island iced tea. Like, that's his thing. He loves one.
Sure.
And so he said, oh, I'll take a Long Island iced tea. And Luke, in his Australian accent, which I won't try to mimic or whatever, says, do you use it to water your vagina?
That's phenomenal. Oh, so. I mean...
And then ended up getting himself one, too, and drank Long Island's with Denton. So it's one of the best stories.
I mean, as far as drinks go, because I am not a large drinker either. I'm not a big drinker, whatever.
A large drinker.
I'm not a large drinker.
Yeah, and we can tell you don't even know the terminology.
Shut your face, hold Clark. Nobody asked you. But I do like Long Island's. I think they're good.
All right, what's up next?
The next one I've not actually seen is Wanted.
Oh, wait, Wanted.
With Angelina Jolie.
That's what I thought. Okay, make sure I was thinking
that. James McAvoy.
This movie is very interesting. So it's
all I know
some,
is bullets turn corners.
Well, they can bend bullets, and there's also custom made bullets that they engrave stuff on the side, and they're supposed to be untraceable and all that stuff. First off, not a thing. If you make an untraceable bullet, it didn't fly straight. The only way you can do that is with a smoothbore. Sorry to go off on a firearms thing.
No, go
but,
off on a firearms thing. You are the resident.
Yes, this is, for those who don't know, like I said, I don't say what I do in my regular day job, but it does involve technology and ballistics and a history of said firearms and ballistics.
In case you didn't know, Clark has three loves himself. History and firearms.
And those are one and the same. I'm not like a gun guy. Actually, I'm not a very big gun guy. I don't like stay up to date on all the new stuff and everything. And I don't own like a ton of guns. I own a collection of museum pieces that happen to be firearms.
Antiques.
But no, I'm a, like I said, I studied history and particular tactics and technology when I was in college. And so I just happened to
war
be...
War history is the most fun history.
Yeah, war. I mean, really, that's what everyone studies history for, right? Is the wars. So
that's the only reason I paid attention in high school.
So I kind of...
remember any of that shit.
I kind of fell into the field of ballistics and firearms because of my studies. But yeah, so Wanted is completely unbelievable. You cannot... You can watch Mythbusters. I think they tried it too. You can't bend bullets. Sorry. No human moves that fast. And also, they couldn't have made those custom silver bullets and not...
Don't they like sling bullets basically out of the
gun?
They
twist their arm while they're shooting mid and think that it doesn't work. Anyway.
They think it's like throwing a football. You like put a curve on it or go in bowling. You put a curve on it and the ball does a spin. It's like...
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. Also, you can't really make untraceable bullets because every gun has a fingerprint.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know that when you shoot a gun, basically the rifling in a barrel... is worn down unevenly. So just like a fingerprint, every gun leaves a fingerprint on a bullet.
How does, once again, going back to Marvel, the Winter Soldier has a Slavic slug with no rifling, can't be traced. How did that make you feel?
You can't. Well, I mean, there is such thing as sabots, which is a basically like a rubber kind of sheath that's over the bullet. I know, I'm doing weird hand motions with whimsical
sheath.
So it's a it's a sabo is what it is, a sheath over the bullet, and that grips the rifling, and then that creates the spin on the bullet to make it accurate. But the bullet never actually touches the inside of the barrel, so it's the sabo creating the spin.
Yeah,
shotguns do that when people hunt deer with slugs, shotgun slugs. There's something called sabo slugs, or there's rifled slugs, and that's basically the difference in that. So there is a way to kind of make slugs can be like that. There's still, though, I mean, like I said, science can find that stuff out. It's not like it's...
Science is pretty impressive with that kind of thing.
Yeah, forensics can do wonders. But as far as Wanted, to say some good things about it, it does have some good humor in it. There's some funny scenes in it.
Yeah.
And I kind of like their I kind of like their ideas. No, I like their I don't know what you want to call it, their gimmick for why they can bend the bullets and stuff, or what makes all these assassins effective, and it's all like anxiety based. Like they're able to control their adrenaline and their heart rate and stuff.
Kind of cool.
And that's what it is the main character is like a nervous wreck, and he's like got super anxiety and all this stuff, and they basically, he's like the son of one of the main assassins or whatever, and they basically hire him. They basically kidnap him and make him one of them. But that's the thing, is they teach him to like control his adrenaline, and that's how.
That does seem to be a pretty big.
It gives him like laser focus and stuff. It's weird. As someone with anxiety, I can say that I don't see how that works, because I like to, when I am actually shooting firearms, I like to be as calm as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to avoid stuff like caffeine, because that makes you a worse shot. So
I imagine.
In fact, real life, like snipers are. And I don't know what our U.S. military does anymore, but I know some countries have given out like diazepam, like benzodiazepam and stuff like that, to actually calm nerves, because that's actually what they would prefer. Your heart rate slower. You want to shoot between heartbeats. Yeah, see, shooting is hard, people. A lot of people don't realize that.
Don't.
Yeah, what they don't tell you in comic books and movies and stuff is that shooting is actually rather difficult to be good at.
Yeah.
And especially long range precision shooting.
About snipers, what's the one shot, one kill? I can't remember who wrote it, but it's a book about American snipers is neat, especially sniping. I've always thought that was really cool.
Some interesting stories throughout history with snipers. Yeah. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you got to have some brass ones.
Yeah,
and you gotta be really intelligent. There's a lot of math involved. Like,
it is.
I've shot F-class before, and that's 1,000-yard target shooting, and that's
difficult.
A lot of math. Yeah.
Now people have
that you're doing in your head while prone, while trying to breathe and shoot between heartbeats. So yeah,
people have those funky little apps now where they're like, "Ooh, the wind speed is this, and this is the distance, and this is what my scope is, and this is the rifle," and faking all that. You don't have to do any math.
Yeah, there's websites now where hunters will just put in their, like, you put in all your ballistic data, and then it tells you where to set your scope at, like, basically.
Which is, I mean, it is very cool, but the...
But when you're in the field and have to do it on the go with wind changing and...
Yeah, I was going to say, the amount of calculations, because, you know, for somebody, I've never shot a gun before, a real gun. I've shot BB guns, all that fun stuff, paintball, but... The interesting thing is when a lot of people that just don't know think about a gun, shooting a gun, they think, oh, the bullet's just going to go straight and it's going to hit the thing. It doesn't matter how far away it is, but like drop rate, gravity, wind,
humidity. People don't take that into account.
No, there's so much that is just, I don't know. It's fascinating to me. Even if, you know, people are anti-gun, that is something to go look at and to be intrigued by, because...
You don't have to hunt or be like...
I mean,
like,
you never have to actually fire a gun to be interested in figuring out that kind of thing.
Some people... I mean, I know people that do stuff like basically blast science and things like that, like what detonations do and what explosives do and everything, that aren't...
That sounds like military, absolute fun.
That aren't military people at all.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like those things all get a really bad rap because they can be used to hurt people, but also they're fascinating.
And someone has to know... The stuff.
Yeah, yeah. How else are we going to figure things out if we don't play with them?
Yeah.
My opinion. But interesting.
Anyway, but the movie, very unrealistic. Is it worth a watch? Kinda. Yeah, it's worth a watch.
I mean, James McAvoy is a baby.
I'd say if you like James McAvoy's in it, Angelina Jolie does a pretty good job. It's got Morgan Freeman in it. Who doesn't love Morgan Freeman?
I want him to narrate my funeral.
And the guy that plays... James McAvoy's character's dad is, he's in something else, a movie that we've talked about a lot, and I'm trying to picture who it is now.
Time to go look up IMDb. The next one, while I'm looking, is Oblivion. Have you seen Oblivion?
I did not, but we kind of talked about how Olga Kurylenko is in it last week, didn't we?
Oh, we did, didn't
or
we?
Or whenever we were talking about James Bond.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing I know about, is that it looked like... For some reason, it reminded me of Halo from the...
It does have a sort of Halo.
The aesthetic to it.
I always get that one and Edge of Tomorrow mixed up.
Because they came out close.
Tom Cruise movies.
I always got Oblivion and the After Earth, the Will Smith and...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jaden
yeah,
Smith
the one where his son is like... He's talking to their son on a radio or something.
Yeah, they're like planet scouting or whatever. Anyway, their trailers were eerily similar to me. So,
do you remember what the guy's name was? He old guy?
No, he's
Thomas Cret.
Yeah, I don't worry about
Gresham.
Yeah, guy? That's him, and he's in something else we've talked about recently.
He was in King Kong. He was in Blade. He was in Resident Evil.
Maybe it was the Resident Evil movie. I was thinking
Penny Dreadful. He's in Westworld.
And yeah. I knew he was in Westworld, too.
For Anya. He's been in a lot of things.
So, yeah. Anyway, he was just a face that I thought about and I couldn't remember his name for a second.
So, moving on from Wanted, or not Wanted, Oblivion. Snowpiercer was originally a comic. Did you ever watch that?
I didn't watch the movie. I'm going to try to watch the show. In the show coming on Hulu? Or
I think so, Netflix? Yeah. Initially, it was called, I'm not going to try to pronounce that because I can't speak French, and I assume that that's what that is. Le Transpiercenige.
Good job.
Like that.
Right on.
Fucking, that's what it is, boys. I keep making this symbol. I can't help myself. I like Snowpiercer. I thought the movie was really interesting. I thought it was fun. It had really good actors and actresses.
Got Chris Evans, right?
Chris Evans is the main character.
Tilda Swinton.
Swinton is one of the bad guys.
You never know with her.
I know. She's all over the board. I like that about her. She's got a very unique in general feature, but like,
she's, yeah, very unique looking, but
I enjoy the like androgyny thing that she's got going on, and I think that it, I don't know, I'd like to see more of that.
That's why she was a good Gabriel in Constantine.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a comic book movie also.
It is.
It's DC.
Oh, it though. Is. I was going to say a movie. It's also a television show.
Yep. They did make a television show too.
And the person that it plays Constantine in the television show is the voice of Edward Kenway in
what?
Black
Flag?
Sail Flag.
Yeah.
Black Flag.
That's small world.
It's a small world. And that was filmed in Atlanta.
A lot of things are now.
They are. It's interesting to be like, you know, watching a movie. I've visited Atlanta so much because I've got so many friends up there, and I've been all over that area, and it's like, oh, I recognize that. All of Baby Driver I watched, and I was like,
I know where that is.
There's one particular building that like, I wasn't paying attention to any, well, I was paying attention, but I was like taking it all in, and then I saw this building, and I was like, that is downtown Atlanta, I swear to God. And then they've got all this like, this is the zip code, this is this pizza area, and I'm like, oh yeah, okay.
Was the, well, side note, the that movie Friend Denton shot Encounter, it one of the houses they filmed at's around the corner.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. So I thought that was funny. He had never seen Zelda before, and that was the first time I walked her around the, or just, I take that back, Leslie walked her around the corner to see him, so.
That's awesome.
Yep.
I'm very good right now too.
Yeah, let's hope it stays that way.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Cowboys and Aliens.
I did actually watch that.
I enjoyed that movie. It was so silly, but it was fun.
I remember being like, okay, that was a thing, but it was forgettable because I don't remember a lot.
It was very forgettable. I remember enjoying it.
Yeah, the same here. I was like, well, that was cool, but then I immediately have forgotten everything
it's
about it.
It's not something that I would immediately go find and, you know, watch a bunch more times, but it was just...
Wouldn't look up the lore behind it and get more into it.
But I do like... name?
Daniel Craig?
Yeah. Wow, I'm great. And what's her name?
All I remember is Daniel Craig. Like I said, I don't remember a thing about it.
The female doctor from House that had the very boxy jaw. She's got...
You're going to have to name something else she's in.
Hold on. I'll look. I can't remember places that she's been, but I like the actress. But Cowboys and Aliens, it was fun. I thought that it was a neat little concept. I'm interested in why it hasn't been a thing more often to kind of combine something like that, but I guess... In a sense, you have...
I think there's only so far your disbelief. Like, it's like the same thing with, like, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
That was a fun movie, too.
But how long am I going to suspend my disbelief on this, especially as a history major, and be like, nah.
Maybe I was thinking Cowboys versus Aliens. I don't know. There's a TV show, apparently, too. Maybe I was thinking something different.
I don't know.
Anyway, the next one is Sin City.
Oh,
you know that one.
I do know that one very well.
And?
I loved the first Sin City movie. The second one was kind of hard to get through, but the first one I absolutely love. It's got a great cast in it. Bruce Willis, obviously. It's got Powers Booth in it. That's the last movie I saw Powers Booth in. He died like a few years ago, but
yeah,
he was the mayor, mm-hmm. the evil mayor.
Yeah.
He was also Curly Bill Brocious in Tombstone, and that's the first thing I ever saw him.
That is my favorite role for him.
Yep, he was absolutely fantastic. And I've told you why the reason he's so good in that was because he was a theater actor. He would never been like in movies, and like when he took that role, like he's so over the top theatrical with like his hand motions and stuff. Like
him on opium, that whole scene. I'm just like,
he's just so animated in the way he moves. He's like, it's great.
Johnny Ringo, I love him.
Johnny Ringo was Michael Biehn, who was one of my favorite actors ever. You'll hear him a lot in my top favorite 80s and 90s movies. Him.
I love the whole aesthetic for Johnny Ringo.
Oh, God, it's amazing.
If I had the opportunity to make a D&D character that is a cowboy, it'd be Johnny Ringo.
That is one that has got to be in my top five favorite characters from any movie. He's absolutely great.
I also laugh because Ringo is Japanese for apple. And so I always think Johnny Appleseed.
Well, you know, in the actual, let's go to the real history. In the let's real history, do they don't know if his actual last name was Ringo or Ringgold. They think it was Ringgold. And also, he really was found dead, leaning up against a tree with a bullet hole in the head. And they don't know how he actually died.
Ain't that a daisy?
Yeah, the rumor is that White Earp found him and killed him. Mm-hmm. But most of the actual like descendants from like the cowboys in that time and everything that knew him, like a lot of historians think that he killed himself. So it's kind of a sad end.
It is sad, but not surprising. That is a good movie in general. I don't know. A
great movie.
If you've never watched Tombstone, do yourself a favor. I know I've got a lot of friends that don't live in America or are not American, and a lot of them do not like cowboy films.
Yeah, they don't get Westerns.
Yeah, and it's like, I guess growing up in America and in the family that I did, military and cowboy films and movie and TV and stuff like that were like our staple. And so I enjoy them, you know, good spaghetti Western cowboy movie, anything like that. They're campy and dumb, but they're fun.
If you have 4 hours to kill one day, you should watch Gettysburg.
I should.
That's the movie based on the book, The Killer Angels. Mm-hmm. That is an extremely good movie that's underrated, and it's probably underrated because it's so long. But it is
I mean,
really
people love Lord of the Rings, and it was...
And that cast is great. That's got Jeff Daniels, Tom Berenger, Martin Sheen, Stephen Lang. Oh, Stephen Lang, my favorite ever. Who is also in Tombstone. That's Ike Clanton.
Oh, yeah.
Law don't go around
really
here, law don't.
Good actor.
Yeah, he's amazing.
I remember seeing him in Avatar, and I was like, wait a second.
He has the best line in Gettysburg, and he doesn't say a word. That's how good his acting is he does it all with us with his face. Mm-hmm. After we do this podcast, I'll show you that one scene and I'll be like, look at how much acting this guy does.
Just tears stream down my face.
In 5 seconds of doing nothing but his facial expression. It's incredible how much emotion he gets through.
And the original Hannibal Lecter, what's his name?
Anthony, the original?
No, Anthony Hopkins.
Okay, Anthony Hopkins. Because Brian Cox was Hannibal Lecter before Anthony Hopkins was.
The two of them can star in a silent movie together.
Yes. They could probably.
I'd watch it.
I'd watch the hell out of that. Stephen Lang is my favorite character actor.
He's just, I don't know. He was good. He's good.
I've seen his one man show, and like about the Medal of Honor winners, mm-hmm. where he does these first hand accounts, like where he's just him on stage, obviously a one man show, and he does these accounts of real life tales that these Medal of Honor winners mm-hmm. said about how they ended up in the military and what their deed was they won it for and all the stuff and what happened to him afterward. And it's incredible to watch him go from like a Jewish New Yorker, like literally
a Jew Yorker
with like that accent and everything. And then the next guy is like a grizzled Texas Vietnam vet and he flows into it seamlessly. Yeah. It's crazy.
That is awesome. I appreciate that. The kind of personality that you have to be able to do something like that, my one thing that stops me from going and doing LARPing or trying to do acting and stuff like that is that I don't want to look stupid. And you have to look
you
stupid.
You have to go
to be
balls
an actor.
In.
You do, because if you only half ass it, like, what's the point? But, yeah. Like.
That's called bad acting if you half ass it.
Right? But, I, that is. One of the things, I don't know, it's not even stage fright, because I embrace the fact that I'm a fucking weirdo, but Sin City. The next one is 300.
We didn't say anything else about Sin City.
I've Back seen to Sin the City. First ep- the yeah. first one, and I think it was that I was not in the mood to consume it, but I just did not enjoy it. And I don't remember if I watched the second one or not.
I watched the second one, and I paid attention to it for the first, like, half, and it lost my interest, and I kept doing whatever the other, you know, like we do. Yeah. I was doing something else while I was watching it.
Yeah.
And it was, like, during a day, on a day off kind of thing, so I was doing stuff around the house, and I just kind of stopped paying attention to it. I think I even stopped it and didn't finish it.
Yeah.
I just know I think Eva Green gets naked in it.
I mean, that's worth watching.
I mean, that would
but
be...
But I could go YouTube that.
But the sheer scene. Fact that I don't remember... If she did or not, should tell you how much I pay attention to it. If Eva Green couldn't get me to watch the screen, then that's something.
Yeah. It's interesting because I don't dislike noir. I really do enjoy that genre, but I have to be in that mood only in order to consume media from it because it's, again, campy. It is 100% like, I don't know.
I'll tell you, while we're talking about Sin City, another one we should bring up, which might be on that list you have there, but it's The Spirit.
It was on the list. I didn't add it to mine because I've never seen
it. I didn't watch it either, but it's in the same aesthetic. And to me, it was like, I didn't know what it was. I was like, I don't know what the Sin City spinoff thing is, so I'm just not going to... I just never watched it.
Fuck with it.
But it's the same aesthetic. We should probably bring it up. So.
Yeah.
300.
300.
Yeah.
Who'd have thunk that 300 was a comic book?
Who'd have thunk? Yeah.
There's if no, you didn't know, based off of the, like...
Nothing over the top at all.
Over-dramatized everything. Like, I appreciate that they managed to take a comic book and make it into a live-action movie. Everything from the, again, over-dramatization of everything and the filming, like, the way that they panned around and they did the slow motion and all that shit, to the fact that all of these men and probably women were... Like, you put them into a cake mold, and they came out gods. The workout to get to that point is fucking terrible.
The best theory that I love about 300 is the fact that since it's being told from the guy who they sent back to, you know, send the message and tell the story, since it's that's how the Greeks told stories about, you know, their heroes and stuff like that, that because it's being dramatized by the guy telling the story, that's why they all look so over the top and why the action's over the top, because he's dramatizing his people's story. So it's not an actual telling of the Battle of Thermopylae.
Right.
It's just the dramatization of the culture and the people and the battle. And,
right.
You know, Xerxes didn't look like that.
Did you, fun fact, Xerxes is Hector in Westworld.
No. In 300?
Yeah.
No, he's not.
Pretty sure he is. Hold on. No. Let me look. Because I saw that and I was like, I can't be looking at that right. No. But yeah, no. It took me forever to actually get to watch 300 because it was R-rated and I was in high school and my mom did not want me to see it. So
I think I saw it in theaters.
I snuck in. We bought a ticket for something else and snuck in. But yeah, it was interesting to see in theaters, and it's gorgeous for as gritty and gross as it looks. Like it is beautiful. Tell me I'm wrong.
Hector from Westworld. There's no way. Why didn't you just IMDb his names and prove it to me?
I did.
Oh, that is him? What the hell? I guess I can see it now when you really look at the face.
Yeah. Shaved. He looks much different than.
Like, it's the nose. I can, when I start looking at features individually, I can be like, okay, I can kind of see that. That is crazy, though.
Right? I don't know. He is just, maybe that self-tanner or something, but.
Did you see the second 300? Rise of an Empire?
I don't think I did. I can't remember. I remember wanting to because of.
Eva Green gets naked in it.
Surprise.
And I know for a fact on that one.
Eva Green just like, I'm not even going to put my clothes on at this point. Just film me naked.
Cake some dark eyeshadow on me and that's it, because that's all she needs.
She has like the perfect face to be an evil.
Yeah. She pulls off the super way too much dark eyeshadow like really well.
Yeah. Isn't she Morgan in a King Arthur?
In the pin, what was it? Camelot, the Showtime show?
No, I think it was a different one.
No, it's definitely the one that was on Showtime. She was.
Oh, you know what I was thinking, Merlin. Yep. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, it was Camelot. She was which my I wish they had part. Kept. I know. I wish they had kept that show going.
Her and the Merlin were like the best part of it. It was a really good show. Actually, I liked too. It. I enjoyed that Arthur was a complete fucking bastard.
Yeah.
He was kind of a giant
dick. Well, he was still a kid, so he was kind of a ditzy asshole.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you think of King Arthur.
Yeah.
Most normal people think of King Arthur and think Captain America, but with swords.
Yeah. So he knows what to do next. It's the right thing.
Yeah. But in... I like the take of King Arthur being a bastard. Or Charlie Hunnam's terrible... The movie was horrible. The, King Arthur that was done by something Ripley. No, Ridley. I don't remember.
Ridley Scott?
No, I can't remember.
Is this the one that had Keira Knightley in it?
No.
Okay.
No, I liked that one. That was apparently a shitty movie, but I like
it. Yeah, I actually didn't mind that movie.
I love everyone in that movie.
Yeah.
I think that it just, especially the, I think it's a director's cut. But I watched that one in theaters twice. And owned it multiple times. And I just, that was the first time I saw Mads Mikkelsen and Hugh Dancy. And I was like, I love both of these guys. And Joel Edgerton, great guy. The dude that plays both Bors and Dagonet, I can't remember their names. The chunkier dude.
I don't remember. The only person I remember too was
Keira Knightley was in it. Keira Knightley, Clive Owen. I was in love with her too.
Clive Owen is Arthur. Arcturus, Ian, or, and then Johan Griffith, yeah.
Oh, it's not Ian.
No, he's like a Welsh name. It's actually
fucking Welsh.
Yeah,
those Walesy bastards need to stop with their words.
His name is literally spelled G R U F F U R D, and it's pronounced like Gruffa, like Grufford, Gruffa, Gruffa. It's like Johan Griffith or something is how he says it. Oh. Anyway, he's Mr. Fantastic.
He is Mr. Fantastic. I love the scene when he walks into the stable and Arthur's on his knees praying. He's like, why do you always talk to God and not to me? And that is like, that's me. Mm-hmm. I know that you also have that like mindset. I don't know. It's just, anyway, that was a tangent. Whoops. Hold on.
Oh, I'll tell my piece on Rise of the Empire. I just really wanted to say that on that one, I knew Eva Green gets naked in it.
Is that the only reason you watched it?
No, but I did. Someone tip me off on that. They did say, dude, watch Rise of the Empire. It's like Eva Green. Yeah. And they gave me the thumbs up and the wink. So I kind of knew, but I didn't really, that's not why I watched it. I just wanted to watch it another day. I was wasting and I was just curious. So I put it on, but, that one historically about the Battle of Salamis, and it was interesting. They gave some more, like they did like Xerxes' backstory more and all that kind of stuff. It was interesting. It's not nearly as good as the first one, but it's fun. And Eva Green's character is actually badass in it, so.
Isn't she the queen of the Spartans or something?
No, she is, she's like the, she was a Greek, like an Athenian or Greek or something that was, she was either like a tribute or like kidnapped by the Persians. Mm-hmm. So she grew up in the Persian court, mm-hmm. and she became, one of Xerxes' admirals.
Oh,
so
that's
cool. She's actually the bad guy. She's leading the attack at the Battle of Salamis against,
Billie Eilish playing in the back of my head.
And the bad guy.
I liked the, I don't know, the overall look of those movies. Like, they might not be the best movies. There are some, it's kind of like Hercules and Xena, where there are a lot of people in those movies that you probably didn't know up until recently because they're more popular actors and actresses now. But it's interesting to go through IMDb and look at people's history and be like, what? This person was in 300? What? Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was a lot at the time.
There were. The next one is Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh, you're bringing in the big guns. Yeah, I like this movie. It's another movie that I have to talk myself into, like to wrap my mind around and be like, okay, this is like a living video game.
Enjoy. I don't think that I remembered, or I don't think that I understood like half of what was going on, but it was imagery wise gorgeous, and I'm sure it was a fun story.
All the colors and everything is great. And the characters are fun, but
yeah,
they are what they are.
I think it's funny that both Chris Evans and what's his name that plays.
Was it Brandon Routh?
I don't remember.
It's the guy that played Superman and what's DC's version of Iron Man in Legends of Tomorrow. He's the guy that Adam something.
Oh, yeah, Black Adam.
No, that's a bad guy. I'll have to look it up. Anyway,
I'm gonna look at whoever it is, and I'm gonna be like, oh, that person. Yeah,
pretty sure it's Brandon Routh though. He's in it.
I don't know. I was thinking of the main character that ended up being Quicksilver.
Oh yeah, he's in it too. Yep, he's in it too.
Oh, I guess that's not.
He's also Kick-Ass, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah, I think so. But yeah,
pretty sure. Yeah,
it was. It's interesting because that one seems to be one where people either absolutely freaking love it or they absolutely freaking hate it. And if you hate it, you're like not truly a. Excuse me, you're not a real nerd. And I'm like, what?
I don't believe that, but I mean, I like it. I don't love it.
Yeah, it's not my favorite movie. I will watch it if it's on, I guess, but like, I won't go out of my way to choose it.
There are so many good people in that movie.
Yeah, that movie has a
holy crap. Let's just go through this for a second. Michael Cera, take him or leave him. I hear he's a dick. I've seen him be a dick actually in outtakes and stuff like that. So whatever.
That's the one that was the main character,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. If you like him, cool. If not, whatever. Mary Elizabeth Winstead, I love. She's this generation's Julia Roberts, as far as like the not Julia Roberts, Jamie Lee Curtis, as far mm-hmm. as a scream queen. Mm-hmm. She's been in so many horror movies. Mm-hmm. She's great in them. Kieran Culkin, obviously Macaulay's younger brother. He's been in a ton of stuff now. I don't know if you've seen, what is that stupid show now called? Oh, I blanked out on it. Succession, that mm-hmm. has Brian Cox in it. Man, why are we so many actors intersecting? Anyway, if you've never seen Succession, it's about a billionaire who's company. He's about to retire from his company and his mm-hmm. children are fighting over who's going to take over.
Oh boy.
And Kieran Culkin is like the drug addicted son who's like, he's the you know, the young one that doesn't have his shit together. He's great in it. Anyway, he's a little bastard. It's great. Anna Kendrick, obviously she's huge now. Gosh, Aubrey Plaza. Love Aubrey Plaza. She's my spirit animal.
What has she been in?
Oh gosh. She's in Parks and Rec. And
wait, is that the nurse?
Yeah, no, she's the stone-faced.
Oh yeah. I love her. She's good.
When she did the World of Warcraft commercial, I said diamonds.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, she's great. Jason Schwartzman, obviously, he's been a bunch of stuff now since it. Where's this guy? And I'll get to let's get to the goods, to the baddies. They are way late on the billing on here. Yeah, there's Chris Evans. Oh, I forgot Brie Larson is in it. She's the girl that she dated. He has to, you know, defeat the seven exes, mm-hmm. and she's the girl ex. So she's like, I experimented in college.
I've heard she's a complete bitch.
Brandon Routh he's in it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember him as Superman.
Yeah, he was in Superman Returns.
He's very, like, he's a soft person. If I had to explain anything more than that, like, if I had to characterize him, he reminds me of soft. That's the word that comes to mind.
I can't find I can't remember what his superhero name is, though, in Legends of Tomorrow, but whatever. All right. Scott Pilgrim, that's a good movie, especially because it's also a gamer movie. It's mm-hmm. not just a comic movie. But did you ever play the side-scrolling beat-em-up, Scott Pilgrim? It's a good...
I didn't know it was one until after having seen the movie.
Yeah.
It's a good beat-em-up. Oh, that makes sense.
What's up next?
The last one on my list is Blade and Blade 2.
Technically Marvel, but not Marvel MCU.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be in. Aren't they making a MCU Blade, though, for Phase 5 or 4 or whatever we're up to?
I think that they are. Phase 5. I've heard that they're remaking it.
Yeah.
I never actually... So I want to say that I've seen it, but I don't remember anything about Blade. Mm-hmm.
I watched the first one.
Other than... One of the people we used to work with, we used to call him Discount Blade.
Yeah.
You remember him?
Yes.
Yeah. I can't remember who came up. I feel like that was a me.
Sounds like something. He was very much Discount Blade.
Discount Blade.
He always wore the tinted glasses.
Which I understand. I mean, not trying to be a dick, but he had whatever defect thing is with your eyes, where one eye is, you know, they look in different directions. So he wore those tinted glasses, I guess, to cover that up because it ruins your street cred.
Probably.
Or something. But he just, like, he was Discount Blade. That was what I thought of. Because he was just, he came up to me one time and he's like, why aren't you nice to me? I was like, I'm not nice to anyone.
Yeah,
and he was like,
special.
But he's basically a m'lady. But like a blade m'lady.
I'm a blady.
I'm a blady. High five. That's awesome. But he got up in my face and I was just like, buddy, leave me the fuck alone. I don't want to talk to you. I don't like you.
He would throw game down on like every girl, and it was so painful to watch.
There was one time he was hitting on Alicia like super hard.
Yeah, he'd always
and I was like, why are you hitting on my girlfriend? And she looked at me, and he looked at me. He's like, I'm not. And I was like, yeah, you need to back the fuck off.
I remember that.
Like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was like, yeah, you should be. And she afterward was like, thank you. And yeah. I was like, yeah, you're welcome.
I remember that because she kept telling him she was a lesbian for a long time. Like, she just kept with it because she just didn't want him talking to her.
Yeah.
Awkward.
It's funny because I'm one of those people that cannot keep a straight face when I'm lying all the time. But I was just like, if you're a person I don't like, I'm not going to show you any emotion because I don't want you to interact with me. I just want you to think of me as like an angry piece of wood that has all these rusted nails sticking out of it.
I try to generate that when I'm in public, and I'm that person. Like, everyone asked me for directions, for money, for rides.
Same.
I had a guy ask me, okay, the other day, I ventured out of the house, and I just had to go to Walgreens for something, and I got asked if I had jumper cables. Fine, fair enough. But they came and knocked on my window while I'm sitting in my truck and asked if I had jumper cables.
That is how you get shot in Georgia.
Well, what was funny was the dude was going to come over and knock, and he stopped, turned around, went back to the car, and then they sent the girl that was with him over. And I'm like, pretty smart choice.
That is intelligent.
And so, like, it was funny because I was observing it, and I was like, well, however, they don't see that I saw that, but I thought it was pretty hilarious. Mm-hmm. Then as I'm getting out and walking into the store, there's a guy waiting out there, and you know when someone's standing out front, and you just know they're waiting on people to come in to ask. He asked me if I would give him a ride to the next Western Union, and I was like, dude, I wouldn't do that if there wasn't a pandemic going on, but I'm not having any stranger sitting in my truck
with
me.
Surprise, I'm not an idiot. Yeah. I've watched murder shows.
Well, this guy was older. Yeah, he wouldn't have.
I don't care.
Yeah. Also, it was me. And I was like, pretty sure I was more heavily armed than him.
Probably, but, you know.
Do you want to get into my rolling arsenal? Because it's all my work stuff's in there.
No, I'm good. I believe you.
That's what I would have told him.
Oh, yeah.
But I really didn't have any room for him because I had all my stuff in there. But anyway, I was just like, no. And then right after that, I got asked for something else. And I was like, bam, bam, bam. One trip to Walgreens, three different people stopping me. Like, I look like a person who's like being charitable.
You look friendly. And it's like, no, that's not me. I'm not a nice person. Don't fucking talk to me.
I know my biggest problem is that because I'm like situational awareness, I'm always being observant and looking around.
I make eye contact with everyone. You can't do anything about that. I do too, because having grown up in Las Vegas for a little bit, my high school years, I did a lot of traveling and I did a lot of like busing, bike riding, all that different stuff to places. And in a massive city, don't trust anyone.
Yeah.
So you had to be aware at all times. And
especially Vegas, too. Vegas is full of con artists and people who are trying to rip off tours.
That and people who just don't live in the city, so they think that they can get away with literally fucking anything. Because what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Yeah. So, like, you have to be exceptionally...
armed robbery.
And mass murder.
You will stay in Vegas if you commit one of these crimes. Right? Clark County will say otherwise.
That's right. You know, growing up there, I learned to be very conscientious of my area. And I'm already overly aware most of the time anyway. If I am comfortable, I won't, like... But in public places, especially after I had this guy didn't mug me, but he kind of mugged me. He got, like, $80 out of me because I was a young, dumb college student on my way to class, and I didn't know how to say no. And he was basically like, well, I need money for food. And so I went and bought him like a candy bar or something. I was like, I gotta go to school. And he was like, no, I'm diabetic, I can't eat this shit, I need actual food. And like walked me into the gas station, because I was putting gas in my mom's truck, and he walked me up to the register, and he was like, I need you to take out money. And I'm like, the person at the register was like, whatever. And so, like, yeah, it was one of those situations that I'm like, please don't fucking approach me because I will kick you in the dick. But, like, it's been especially bad. I live in my area downtown, which usually is kind of ghetto, kind of run down. You know, it is what it is. My neighborhood's great. The people I live with are awesome. But, you know, there are some rough areas, and it's like that in pretty much every city. When I lived in New Orleans, we had two blocks away from us some really dangerous people, and then like a block and a half down the road there were the big ass mansions and all those things that you know New Orleans is notorious for. And I feel like in the South, the mixture of poverty versus like super wealth is it's you know all on the same block.
Well, here, like in this city, like some of our biggest like old money houses, like old rich, like old like historic rich money houses, are literally like right next door to some of like you know some of the most low income housing stuff and
low income housing, or you know it's been burned down. It's been not contaminated. What's the word I'm thinking of?
Condemned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's interesting, but I was at the Dunkin' Donuts downtown. I was going through the drive-thru because I was going to work, and sitting at the window waiting to get my drink, and there's this old, tall, skinny white dude standing on the curb. So he wasn't anywhere near me, but I'm sitting there. I have my glasses on, and it was far enough away that he could not see my face even if he wanted to. So I'm sitting there waiting, you know, because I don't stare in the window. I can see somebody out of my peripheral. I'll turn to grab my stuff. And this guy, just like this fucking foreboding that's completely empty because we're in a pandemic, but I still have to go to work and I need coffee. So I was at the drive-thru, you know, doing my thing, and this guy's just standing there on this empty street, and he was turned like this, and then he turns toward me in like one of those weird fucking video game moments, and he just stares at me, and he goes, he's making this like feed me motion, and I just kind of like stared at him, and I went grab my stuff, and then
I made the blow me motion back.
I just didn't respond, but then he's on the curb, so there's the turn out thing, and he was on the curb like to turn, and so I'm rolling my window up, locked my doors, and pulled up and had to wait to turn because there was a bunch of cars coming naturally. So I'm sitting there straight fucking forward, glasses on, all that stuff, but this guy's standing on the curb and he's just making that motion at me, and I was like, ooh boy, I'm gonna commit a murder today. It's gonna be me running over this homeless fucker. But it was just like, I don't know how we came up on the topic of homeless people, but
I was in my Camaro one day, and I went over to the gas station around the road, and a guy just came up. I had my windows down, and black car, tinted T-tops and everything, black interior, and guy just came and stuck his head in the passenger seat of my car and be like, hey man, do you know where, and it's asking where something, interstate something was.
Yeah.
Anyway, he did that. What you didn't see, because I had a black car with black interior and black tint, was my 100-pound German Shepherd was in the passenger seat.
Ooh, boy.
And that didn't end well, so
I'm sure he liked that situation so much.
Yeah. Pro tip for people. I thought I gave him a heart attack. I was kind of laughing.
I would have been.
But I told the dude, I was like, dude, I said, why are you sticking your head in people's cars? I was like, you don't know what's in there.
Yeah. I was like, you don't know who's in there.
That's what I say. I said, I didn't have to pay attention. You got a 100-pound German Shepherd that's literally there that says, yeah, cross the threshold and you die.
I promise you, bitch. What do you bet? Yeah.
That dog was mean too.
People are brazen.
Yeah.
And
I think it's because they know people won't say no if you're like just like you're blunt.
Pushy.
Yeah.
Or
I mean, that's the same thing telemarketers do and crap. You just be annoying, be pushy, and people eventually they'd rather pay you off and get you to go away than
Did I tell you about talking? The one that told me to fuck off?
No, but that's even.
So it was a scam once, and this guy called, and I could tell that it was the same person because he'd called three times before, and I just hung up, and eventually I answered. I was like, I'm not interested in whatever you're selling me. Please take me off your call list, and hung up. And then he called back the next day, and he starts going off on a spiel, and usually I'll let him go off on their spiel, or I'll just hang up because I don't care. I've been there. I've not been a telemarketer, but like, I've been a call center person, and I understand how, you know, people have scripts and whatever. He starts going, and I was like, hey, buddy, I know you just called me yesterday, and I know I just talked to you yesterday. I told you to take me off your fucking list, so don't call again. Take me off your list. And he hung up, and then he called back the next day, and I was like, come on, seriously? Are you fucking starting with me again? He was like, fuck you, cunt, and then hung up. And I was like, thanks for trying to get money out of me, you dumb motherfucker. This is some, like, Medicare health thing or something. And I'm like, okay. Yeah, I was just like, fuck me, I guess. But he didn't call back after that, so.
I bust out laughing. I'm like, yes, mission success.
Right? I was like, hell yeah.
If I can get someone that upset, right? I've succeeded.
Like, I'm pissed off, so I'm going to get even, and it worked.
Let's drive your blood pressure up a little.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. What are we doing? Where are we?
Well, we have
that
Blade.
Was the end of your list.
Yeah.
So, Blade, yeah, I watched the first Blade. I didn't watch the other two. I think didn't.
Oh, we got on Blade on all that whole tangent because of Discount Blade.
Yeah, that's where we were.
That's awesome. Just
we didn't leave any breadcrumbs in that forest.
No, we sure didn't.
The first Blade's all right. It came out in a weird time. I think the first X-Men movie may have come out by then, or no, it came out before the first X-Men movie.
I think
movie.
It was before the first X-Men.
So
movie.
See, there was no Marvel standard at that point, really.
Yeah, X-Men.
Not that X-Men was the standard, but it was the
standard. I feel like that's kind of, it's not the superhero movie that started superhero movies, but it kind of...
Definitely opened the door. I think, we said during Spider-Man, we were talking about them. I think Spider-Man made them realize how profitable the comic book movies could be. And
yeah, they went, what? Nerds?
And how it could be the new summer blockbuster thing.
And now it is the new summer blockbuster thing. So much so that Marvel's like... Don't worry, we're not done with comic book movies yet.
But yeah, Blade just probably came out too early, and probably if it was done now by an MCU kind of.
Who would you cast as the character?
You know, my first thing I was thinking of, it can't happen, was Michael B. Jordan, but he's already been two Marvel movies, so
he would be good though. I love him; he's such a good actor.
I know, and that's why I want to see him in everything. But I mean, he's already been.
It makes me sad that his character. Spoiler alert, was killed in or died in Black Panther.
Yeah, Killmonger is awesome.
Because he was just like, he showed up. His theme music is playing in my head right now. I've got goosebumps. He was a badass. Like,
he's
Marvel
great.
Villains are hit or miss, but he was up there with the best. And Black Panther in general was just really well made.
Yeah, it's a very good movie. Second one's not too far off, I don't think.
I hope not.
Very good. It was on TV, I think, the other day. I was watching part of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's great in that. He was Mr. Fantastic in the attempted Fantastic Four reboot. So I said Mr. Fantastic.
No,
I mean, he was Johnny Storm.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said that. But yeah, so he's been in two Marvel movies, so I don't know. If it wasn't him, I don't know. I don't know who I'd want.
I don't know what the age range is supposed to be for Blade.
Technically, well, I don't know since he's...
I mean, he's a vampire, so...
Well, he's half. I think
he's
still...
a vampire,
I think
so.
He still ages like a human.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. Because that's his thing, is that he requires the blood to live, but he can't... He didn't have the fangs, and he didn't have all the... He didn't get the benefits. He got all the negatives of being a vampire.
Rude. Is that why he hunts them?
Yeah, probably. Well, it's because his mom
sense.
Was killed. But whatevs. But yeah, I don't know who I'd seen in a remake. But hey... Morbius is coming out soon. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited for that.
Why not?
I don't like the actor.
But, yeah. We'll see what Morbius is like when it comes out. So, anyway. A couple more movies. Now, I guess since you're done with your list, I'll do a couple of mine that I've been thinking of.
Yes.
Obviously, I watched the 2019 Hellboy. I watched the first two Hellboys, the original with Ron Perlman.
I've seen the original. Is the fish guy the same? Is Abe the same?
I never got to a
Abe
point
Sapien?
In the new one where he's even in it.
Aww,
or where I even saw him.
That's sad. I've talked to that actor. He's really nice.
Oh, nice. The only... I still have like 45 minutes in that movie to watch. I watched like an hour and a half of it, and I had to stop it. But it's pretty interesting. It has Mila Jovovich in it. I think I said that last week.
Is she the love interest in that?
No, she's like the evil blood witch. That's
oh,
the main...
Shit.
Yeah, she's the baddie, so it's pretty awesome.
I will say, from the original Hellboy, I really want to make the male twins outfit.
Yeah.
I think I've always loved him. He's badass looking, even though he's a dickhead.
Yeah. Other than that, I don't have a whole lot to say about Hellboy. We kind of started this whole thing off talking about it.
Yeah.
The main thing I have to say about it is it was kind of just an enjoyable movie, like, from what I get to see of it. Like,
yeah.
It probably isn't cinematic. Gold, but it's
not groundbreaking, but it's fun
for what it is. Mila Jovovich is kind of fun in it because she's bitter, but there's some humor into it.
Yeah,
because she's basically she's the blood queen or whatever who Arthur and Merlin kill and banish.
Mm-hmm.
And they cut her into pieces and like bury her and separated all over the
nice.
Like the place so that she can't like reassemble,
right?
But she's like still alive, because she's immortal. So she's been a head in a box for like hundreds or a thousand years.
That would be the worst.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, just made me think of another side note of something that'll appear in my top favorite 90s movies, but just thinking of terrible fates to befall you. One of them is an Interview with a Vampire when they, which is actually a real thing apparently with vampires, but when they throw him in the coffin and they seal him upside down in the coffin and they're planning on leaving him there for like whatever eternity or however long, that would suck just to be upside down.
Well, I know burying a person, there's supposed to be some sort of, I imagine it's a religious thing, not necessarily upside down, but you lay them down like they're sleeping. You're laying them to rest. Well,
you're supposed to rise up and see Christ when the rapture comes.
But there's a thing where I know that they did it with witches and people that were satanic or whatever, that they would bury them laying down. Yeah.
But I'm talking like head down. Yeah. That would suck.
That would suck.
If you're a vampire and you just got to chill there.
At least you don't have any of your own blood to run to your brain. Head.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you would just desiccate. Yeah. Either way, but anyway, she's buried like all over the place, and like her servants or whatever have to reassemble her parts, and so she's like for a while she's like watching TV to catch up on the news of like learn about what the world's been for the last 1,000 years, and she's literally like a head and a torso, like with her legs are like on the couch behind her, like still detached, and so it's just fun. There's some dark, funny humor stuff in it.
Yeah, I do appreciate that. Speaking of vampires, I enjoyed Helsing and how you just basically have to splash Alucard with blood and he's like, I'm back, bitches. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say. Vampires who are like, oh, I'm dying, I'm dead, I'm just going to take a 10-century nap, and then you just, oh, just I cut myself and flicked my blood on you, and they're like,
they smell it.
I'm alive, I'm awake. It's like an alarm clock.
Let's see. We talked about Dredd. Now, I never saw the new Dredd
with
Carl Urban. That's which I like. I like Carl Urban.
It was a fun movie.
But I have seen the original with Sylvester Stallone.
I don't think that I've seen the original. It's possible that I have. But I watched the Carl Urban one. And there is this part in the movie later on where Lena Headey gets kicked off a balcony or something. Or kicked through a window. I don't really remember, but she's tripping off a shit. Like, I don't know. I think she's a drug dealer or something. She gets kicked off after being injected with this drug. I'm sure it's a life-ruining thing, as drugs tend to be. But she's high as fuck. And I don't remember what the filter is called, but as she's falling, it's in slow motion, and there are all these glass pieces, and it's got the like rainbow prismatic like outlines are slightly off, so everything's just kind of like, it's a very pretty scene, and I want to say that I watched it in 3D, so you have the added bonus of all of that really pretty.
It's cool.
Yeah,
I would like to watch it. I didn't realize it didn't come out in like 2012.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that
it's kind of old.
I know, like it seems newer. It seems like it's like, oh, that was like 2 or 3 years ago, but no, it
came out. Well, 2012 does, to be fair, feel like 2 or 3 years ago,
and that's when the world ended. Yeah. We're just living in a.
There's a glitch in the Matrix. Oh,
yeah. You never heard that theory?
No, I have heard that theory.
There's a whole theory that like the poles really did reverse in 2012 and like the world ended or whatever, and we're all living in like a weird, like basically, the reason the world's been so fucked up is because
we're
the
survivors.
Because something actually happened in 2012. Yeah.
In Stargate, there is an episode. There are many episodes, but there's an episode where they gate to a planet that is slowly being dragged into a black hole. And because of the black hole, all things in this planet are fucked up, including time, space. So, like, what takes 2 seconds to do takes 2 years to do, to complete, like, waving your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we're in a black hole.
Maybe.
Things are reversed.
Spaghettification.
Yeah. I don't know. That'd be interesting. Can you imagine us being sucked toward or into a black hole and, you know, the government's like, don't tell anyone. just let it happen.
Just let it ride.
Did you see, speaking of the government and the craziness going on, also I think 2012 was a comic.
The movie?
I think it started as a comic. Okay. I could be wrong.
I think it started as an Aztec calendar.
I mean...
or the Mayan calendar, my bad.
Wow. Get your ancient cultures correct. Where was I going? Fuck.
Government. Speaking of government.
Oh, yeah. Did you see the thing about the aliens?
Oh, yeah. I've known about that for a while, though.
No, apparently there was some new leaked footage.
Yeah.
And they got some, like, on Fox, some Air Force colonel or something. And they're like,
what's the Navy doing it?
Yeah. Oh, whatever. Some military person. They're like, what do you think about this thing? And he's like, I signed a non-disclosure. I can't. I can't. And they're like, yeah, but like, how do you feel though amidst all the craziness going on? And my brain's like, this administration sucks. Let's take the aliens for 2020.
Let's give them a shot.
What's the worst that could happen? Independence Day?
But yeah, that's actually... Now it's probably hitting mainstream stuff, but if you're a weirdo like me and look at paranormal crap all the time, I've known about that for like a year. The Navy's... They've declassified them for a while. So.
Yeah, I think that I remember... Was it last year?
Yeah.
When they were doing the Area 51 thing?
Oh, yeah.
I know that there was some hubbubaloo craziness... Yeah, it involved that in Area 51.
Started becoming a big thing, like, about the Navy releasing all the videos that they had of footage of it from fall last year or something, late summer, fall. But it was a big deal in the alien community because they were like, this is the government acknowledging. Well, they were acknowledging. They don't call them UFOs. They call them unexplained aerial phenomena, UAPs.
Yeah.
But same thing.
I mean, it's kind of silly to think that there isn't something else outside of our planet.
Yeah, it's the Fermi paradox. The Fermi paradox. Just look it up later. Basically an explanation for why we haven't run into aliens. And it basically comes into, I want to say the gist of it is like,
we're not advanced enough.
There's no way with the size of the universe and the age of the universe that we are alone, but because of those same things, the size and the time difference, that we may have already maybe the aliens are already dead. You know, they were a billion years old. They've already gone, or we'll never run into them because of just distance. Or we are the first. That's always a theory, too, that more advanced civilizations will come after us.
Mm-hmm.
There's the panspermia theory, which is we are the aliens, that Earth is basically, we're the evolution of microbes that crashed on Earth back in its formation, you know, because Earth's 4 billion years old.
Right.
There's all kinds of theories that explain, and it's basically, like I said, the Fermi paradox kind of explains, like, we should, mathematically, there should be aliens, but that also equally mathematically, we have, like, such a slim chance of ever running into them. So.
Yeah, makes sense. Although there are cats. I swear cats are not fucking from this existence.
And then we go to ancient aliens, because the Egyptians worshipped cats, and...
Interestingly enough, Stargate... Ancient Egypt is their alien symbiotes that lodge themselves into the neck area of people. It could be any species, pretty much. And
cats made the pyramids. That's what we've established.
Pretend to be ancient Egyptian and Nordic gods. Actually, the Roswell Greys are the Nordic people. Yeah. Gotcha. But they're not bad guys. They're good guys. They're Asgardian.
Stargate ripped off Transformers.
I'm sure it did.
They had the space bridge before there was Stargate.
Stargate.
Just want to point that out.
If you were to mismatch, like, mash everything together, Stargate, Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar, Transformers, like, it would all make sense. You don't even have to explain it.
It all works. E.T., because that's in the Star Wars universe.
Yep.
We could talk about Transformers, but we need a whole episode for
we
me to talk
need an
about.
An episode of Transformers,
but they are technically comics that have been made into movies.
Actually, that was on my list. Yeah. I forgot. I passed over it.
Yeah, we'll do a whole episode on the Bay movies because
I've watched all of the Bay movies, and going back to that, not good but enjoyable.
Most of them are enjoyable. Some of them are enjoyable.
I mean, I don't have the
attachment like I do. Yeah,
not even that. I just don't have the understanding of the universe, because I haven't spent my entire life reading comics.
That's my biggest beef with the movies. I won't say biggest beef. I have some other beefs with them, but for this,
Optimus having to try out three times to get Optimus Prime to, you know, to be his voice.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Oh, man. That is pretty
Excuse
ridiculous.
Me, Michael Bay?
But
Michael Bay was like, listen, I'm just preemptively doing it for when he passes away.
They also got, like, Frank Welker could have done Megatron's voice, but he got Hugo Weaving to do it instead. And it's like, why? Frank Welker is still doing Megatron's voice in cartoons to this day.
I did meet the guy that does Optimus Prime's voice.
Peter Cullen.
Yeah.
It's National Treasure.
A real nice guy.
National Treasure.
I met him at one of my first Anime Vegas anime conventions. He was an MC for the Masquerade, and he was just hanging out because we were getting ready to do the Masquerade. Because
that's what you do when you're Optimus Prime.
As the MC, you know, he was talking to us. He was trying to figure out, like, group names and stuff like that, and he was just the nicest dude.
It's awesome. I'll sum up, though, for this purposes of this episode, I'll sum up my beef with the Transformers movies and the connection to comics as being Michael Bay tried to put too many different canons into the movies.
It's almost like the new Star Wars.
He tried to please every generation, and it doesn't work.
Almost like the new Star Wars.
So it's like,
but we don't have an entire library of content to pull from.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. I feel like it would be neat for them to do a live action television show of Transformers, because
that'd be expensive probably.
It would, yeah, the CG and any practical stuff would be expensive, but it would be worth it. Netflix, if you're listening, I'm making a proposal. I have a friend that has a really great script that I haven't read.
Please don't have it follow just Bumblebee.
No, I was going to have it follow your thing that you told me you needed to send.
I know. I've got Hasbro on the horn trying to get a new character made.
Hasbro, I've got some requests. Just saying.
Hasbro and IDW. I've got stuff for you.
Y'all. Listen,
but yeah, that's my thing with the Bay movies, is there's too many continuities that he tried to stuff all into the thing because he wants to please everyone, or he just wanted to draw from as many things as possible to cover bases.
He probably doesn't have the same connection that fans have to, or he might.
I mean, who knows who helped write the script too? He probably had input from people who maybe weren't Transformers fans at all and just picked what they're like. Well, this character's from this. This was popular in this. This is, let's do it right. Like that. And there's some of those things translated really cool to the screen, and some of them are wasted and poorly done and don't come off endearing at all.
Yeah.
Like, I actually love RC in the movie, even though she never has a speaking role. She's only in the second movie, the beginning, for a second. Mm-hmm. But they used her motorcycle form from Transformers Prime, and that just looks like the coolest fucking
thing. It is the coolest thing. So,
and technically, that was supposed to be the three of them. It was supposed to be Alita 1, Chromia and RC, but they made it to where they were like
all combined into
all three were one, so then they just made that like RC, and I was like, I can live with that, that's cool.
I will say there were a few characters that just I don't enjoy the Jar Jar input, and I know that people, you know, movies will put those kinds of characters in because it's fun for the kids.
Yeah, and
kids can fixate on this one stupid character.
They're funny because they're loud and they're
dumb. And like the first Bayverse Transformers had that dumb robot that was bad guy, and then he turned good. The little small one.
Oh, in the second one, yeah, he's the little.
Well, he was
truck.
In the first one, and then he. What was it, the he's second not, one?
They have Frenzy in the first one, but he didn't have any words.
Oh.
In the second one, he's the Decepticon that turns good, and he's like, I didn't know you could just choose
like,
a side.
He humps everything, and he's really obnoxious, and then I think it's the third
let's
one.
Cut him some slack. It's Megan Fox.
Yeah, Megan Fox. The third one has the two, what are they? The green and the red?
Oh, that's in the second
one
too, isn't it? The twins.
Is it the second one?
It's supposed to be like Skids and Mudflap, and they're...
I don't know, they're fucking dumb.
They're really dumb, because Skids is actually a pretty cool character in the comics.
Yeah. I mean, it could just be that, you know, they change personalities and stuff like that, because that's what tested well with the audience or whatever, but...
And then they gave Devastator balls.
Yeah, I thought
legit
that was
balls.
Funny, though.
Wrecking balls like just happened to fall right here.
The child in me was amused by that.
it's so Michael Bay though. It's like, really, dude?
Wow. Thanks, buddy. I mean, the whole like was it B flipping off his little gas cap or whatever and peeing. Yeah, like that sort of humor, one-off, briefly, is okay. But when you have a character whose entire personality is annoying, like, why would you do that?
Yeah. I don't know. That's enough of the Bays. We'll do a whole episode on the Bays. Maybe we do that next. I'd do a whole Bay movie.
Well, we could do, if we could do the next large scale thing being Transformers.
Ooh. I could go forever on that.
That's the point.
All right. We'll plan it. A couple of movies I want to mention from the 90s that I won't go too far into because I like them. I haven't seen them in a while, but they were fun movies for me growing up. The Crow. Love that movie. R.I.P. Brandon Lee. Would have been a star. But The Crow, awesome movie, which I think they tried to remake with Jason Momoa.
I heard that they wanted to make a new one.
Yeah, I think he's supposed to be Eric Draven in it, so I would watch the hell out of that, actually.
I mean, I like Jason Momoa, so I'd enjoy it just for the view. But I remember really enjoying The Crow, too, and I think it would be neat to see Crow how so they... Awesome.
It's the ultimate goth kid revenge fantasy.
Yeah, absolutely. The only weird thing was the siblings.
Yeah. The only weird thing. That whole movie's got some
weirdness.
It is
weird.
It kind of... That was probably one of them... I won't say the first real like violent movie I ever saw, but I was young when I saw that, and that was pretty violent for its time, for me.
Yeah.
Because I remember I'd seen RoboCop before, and RoboCop was like the first really violent movie I'd seen that was rated R that I didn't know was that violent until you watch it.
I don't think I've ever seen
the original one,
or the new one.
I hadn't seen the new one, but the original one's pretty graphic. He shoots a guy in the dick. You'll enjoy that.
I do enjoy that. That's where I would shoot someone.
There's a funny action figure that's going around that someone like made, like it's in a blister pack and everything. And it's like the RoboCop action figures, and one of them is a guy who got shot in the dick, and it's just like a big bloody hole.
That's so funny.
But anyway, and the other one I wanted to mention was Dick Tracy.
Oh, yeah.
Love that movie. It's so endearing. And it was another one where it's like, it should have freaked me out because all the characters, they went straight comic to film. Like all the characters are makeup. It's done so they look exactly the way they do.
Right.
And that movie's just so colorful and has so many characters. And
I don't know that I've actually seen it, but I do remember.
And the whole shootout at the end is great.
Because I used to laugh at the name.
Yeah.
Even as a child, I laughed at dick jokes.
That movie's legitimately a fun time, so I would say check that one out. Other ones I could talk about that have been made into comics, like Ghostbusters and stuff like that, that doesn't qualify for this one. We're doing comics to movies, so maybe one day we'll talk about comics that have been made off of movies and if they're any good.
There are some. Or movie books.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pacific Rim is a good one.
Books that have spun off of movies instead of vice versa.
I'm one of those people that, especially for movies that only have a film, or they only, because you only get so much time with a movie, I enjoy having additional information. That's the thing that I like doing. I don't like knowing everything about a movie, but I do enjoy, like, for instance, the first Pacific Rim. You get the setting of characters, you get a setting, you get the setup, and then the book goes in and it tells you, oh, hey, you remember Hercules Hansen and his son Chuck? Here's why they have issues. This is what happened to his wife. By the way, Herc's brother was a bitch. That's why he only ever drifts with the sun. You know, stuff like that. You get to learn a little bit about Stacker, and you get to learn about, what's her name? Mako? I don't know. It's cool.
What about movies that were sequels to books?
I don't know.
This is one I've just been thinking about, was how they, the movie Battle Royale 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've never watched those.
So the book Battle Royale is amazing.
Yeah.
Which I'm totally going to be in another one of my countdown videos about books, probably is going to be on there. But the movie version of Battle Royale is not that great because it's really hard to cover a 622-page book and be in depth with it. So you don't get any of the characterization you really need to get with all the class. You only get certain people.
Right.
Anyway, they made a sequel to the movie Battle Royale 2 that is not the book. There was no book Battle Royale 2. So they made a sequel to the movie, and there is no book source material to draw from. So the way they took the story into what happens after the events of the first one was actually really interesting to me. And I actually want a book version of Battle Royale 2. Mm-hmm. I think that would be amazing.
Chewing on.
A piece of fake plant that the cat got over. Great. Got off and sabotages and throws and says, see if I can choke the dog. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. Hey, speaking of, I just summoned him. I whispered his name.
Noodle.
Murdoch, come here, buddy.
Show me the nudes.
Here he comes. He's like, what's going on here, guys?
She's like, me? Is he question mark?
His tail's actually down. It's weird. Here he comes. He's slinking in. He's being very suspicious. He's such a big noodle.
He's so cute. What else?
That's it for me as far as comics and turned into movies. I mean, I'm sure there's some more in the 90s that I missed.
Probably.
And there's even stuff manga that we didn't.
Radar. Oh, yeah. No, we definitely did.
That's a whole other thing, talking about manga, probably.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, anything else you want to talk about? We ran it for a good while, about...
almost 2 hours.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have we done a topic of books that we would like turned into movies, or do we just kind of briefly...
We've briefly talked about it when we were talking about... I think it was like episode 2 or 3, like early on, we did one about some of our favorite books and stuff.
I know we did a book one. Yeah.
Yeah. We need to redo book one because there's always books to read. So.
Yeah. What are you reading right now, Clark?
I'm still on Red Rising.
And how are you liking it?
Good. It's coming along slow because I have so much to do, but I'm actually enjoying it.
It does kind of start slow.
And I had to burn 40 hours into Final Fantasy Remake, so.
I would suggest the audiobooks. I don't know how you feel about them, but
I listen to a lot of podcasts when I'm traveling. I probably should, but
yeah, that's definitely one of the ways that I consume many books, and I'll go back and reread them because I'm a person that doesn't like to reread books, like physically reread, but I will listen to and then go read them because I pick up on things differently based off of how I consume it.
I've been wanting to reread Battle Royale now that I mentioned it. But
you should. Thanks. But yeah, audiobooks are great. And they're awesome because you don't have to fixate on a page. You can do something else, like quote-unquote work or drive to work.
There it is. Happen to be within arm's reach.
There. Now you gotta. I just started reading Gideon the Ninth, which is a pretty interesting story so far. Only got couple chapters in, though, because customers wouldn't stop talking to me while I was standing at the door. But anyway, what else do we need to talk about? What else do we need to say?
Probably tell people where they can find us online.
Where can they find us online?
We can find us on Twitter at HelloTangent. You can find me at RevSnakeBite. And you can find Kat at DualOmniBlades.
And you can find us on Instagram. I'm on Instagram. Our podcast is on Instagram. I don't know if Clark is on Instagram.
I'm not. I probably should.
You can go watch our Instagram story right now. It's probably going to be gone when this comes up, but keep an eye out because we post some really silly things sometimes, including our mascots.
Yes. The cat and the dog are great. But yeah, that's about it. Please, like I said, check it out. Spread the word. Thanks for listening.
Always.
We're going to keep making stuff and hopefully it'll eventually catch on and then people can maybe listen to this. Maybe you're listening to it in the future. Who knows?
Yeah. Also, if you want to hear us talk about things and go off on tangents while we're talking about things, feel free to suggest us stuff on Twitter, Instagram. You can DM us. You can
always answer.
At tag us. And
we talk about being mean online people, but we always actually do answer.
Like I said earlier, there's a social commitment. I'm not a jerk to people I don't know, unless they deserve it. But no, we do definitely encourage people to come chat with us, because being nerds is fun, and it's more fun being nerds with other people.
It is. I've learned that when I joined a Final Fantasy group here recently, because, I've been really back into Final Fantasy again.
Yeah. Good. I did actually too, because I'm getting into Final Fantasy.
Sweet. We need to do a whole Final Fantasy episode.
We do. I'm nowhere near finished with
there's a lot of Final Fantasies that we'll talk about.
Oh, yeah.
I think Austin might want to sit in on that one, because Austin's actually, a couple of years ago, I got him on a kick where he went back and played like all of them too.
Oh, so. Did he? I would absolutely love that. Did Daniel ever play the Final Fantasy games?
I don't know. Which ones?
I know he played a ton of Phantasy Star.
Star Ocean?
Yeah.
Played those too, so.
I've not played either of them.
Star Ocean's good.
I've heard. The new one's supposed to be really good.
The newest one was it still like...
I think it's like 6 years
it's
old.
It's like 6 or 7 years old now. I played it. I started it, but I couldn't... I actually was enjoying it for a while, but then other stuff came up and I just didn't get to finish it.
Isn't that a tactics-based one?
No. It's... more free-flowing combat kind of. It's a cool mix of you are it's not free flowing action, but you are allowed to run around. So it's free flowing.
It's not linear.
It's a free flowing battlefield.
Nice.
But you're still choosing your attacks and stuff, if that makes sense.
Makes sense. That might be more consumable than a turn based.
You're not locked in specifically, like left and right side attacking. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all active time and you're able to run around while you're making your commands.
That's cool.
So they're pretty fun. I like the PSP versions of 1 and 2. And then Star Ocean Till the End of Time is probably the best one. That's the one on the PS2.
Maybe we need to have a Star Ocean thing.
They're good. They just have such a fun aesthetic.
I will say, having never played them, but seeing one of the things that draws me in that very frequently deceives me is the beauty of games.
Yeah, good artwork always
sucks. Especially the JRPG games.
That's why I've said it a million times. I want to like Disgaea so bad.
But yes, that even with Final Fantasy games, I don't like the tactics thing, but God, are the characters and the whole thing, even 20 years old with little boxy avatars, like it's I don't know.
You can replay Final Fantasy Tactics on the PSP. It's called War of the Lions. I've actually, for a tactics-based RPG, that's one that I've played through because the story is actually really good.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if... I don't know where my PSP is, if I still have it.
I definitely still have mine. I still play stuff on it all the time.
I have a hard time with handhelds. That is why we got the full Switch instead of the Lite.
Switch Lite, yeah.
Which is silly, because I really like the colors of the Switch Lite. I guess you can get stickers or whatever for the Joy-Cons, but I play with a controller. It stays in its dock.
I mean, I do handhelds on long trips when I have to travel, and then
I get car sick.
Yeah, I forgot about that. So I can do it. And then also, when I am going on like a vacation and I don't want to take a system with me, but I'll always have the PSP.
It's easy to do a handheld.
Yeah. And I have enough games that can keep me entertained.
Hopefully, we can all road trip to Disney this Woo-hoo. Autumn.
Ooh.
So we can go Batu Bound and be the smugglers I was telling you about.
Try out this character, see how it feels.
Yeah, I mean, it's not hard to make the costumes. Literally just walk into an army surplus store and you've got a rebel.
Yeah, I should go something crazy though to be your sidekick. Gotta go all out on it.
We can make you a Togruta.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. I actually want to make a...
I was actually thinking Toilek or Togruta. Yeah. Togrutas are cool.
They are badass.
Yep. That would be fun to do.
Are they flesh or are they horns? Or are they florns?
No, they're not horns. Or I think hesh. It is... I'm trying to remember because I know this. I've actually... Yeah.
So, I know the Leku are basically tentacles. I know that... I think there's the species that are like the species, race, whatever, that are like the Togruta, I can't think of their names, but Palpatine had the blue guy next to him.
Yeah.
That had the, like, flesh mounds and then the horns sticking up.
Yeah.
I think that the Togruta, the Twi'lek, and there's a couple of other races that are very closely related.
Zabrax have horns.
Zabrax do, but theirs are actual horns.
Yeah.
I don't know. Star Wars has some pretty cool things.
We've gone way off topic. All right, let's wrap it up.
Y'all have a good one.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye. Realize that the world is mine.